All right. Are we doing good now? All right. Perfect. Let's go ahead and read through this chapter of Scripture, Revelation 18, if we could all stand for the reading of God's Word this morning. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Remember to her just as she rendered to her, just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she has mixed double for her. In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as queen and am no widow, and will not see sorrow. Therefore her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine. And she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. The kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, the great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour your judgment has come. And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. Merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen and purple, silk and scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood, bronze, iron, and marble, and cinnamon, and incense, fragrant oil, and frankincense, wine and oil, fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and chariots, and bodies and souls of men. The fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you, and all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all. The merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in one hour such great riches came to nothing. Every shipmaster, all who travel by ship, sailors and all, and as many as trade on the sea, stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What is like this great city? They threw dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and wailing and saying, Alas, alas, that great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth. For in one hour she is made desolate. Rejoice over her, O heavens, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found anymore. The sound of harpists, musicians, flutists, and trumpeters shall not be heard in you anymore. No craftsman or any craft shall be found in you anymore. And the sound of a millstone shall be shall not be heard in you anymore. The light of a lamp shall not shine in you anymore, and the voice of bridegroom and bride shall not be heard in you anymore. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, for by your sorcery all the nations were deceived. And in her ways, in her was found the blood of prophets and saints and of all who were slain on the earth. Let's pray. Dear Father, as we read these words, we hear these evil practices. Some of which, you know, are so common and out in the open in our culture today. We think about all the riches that are accrued through the trade, and how we even know that in our very nation there's so much organized crime that just surrounds these ports and these places of entry. We see that word sorcery toward the end of this chapter, and we realize that word is a word that is very close in its Greek form to the word for drugs, sorcery, pharmakia. We can see how much money is changing hands through the drug trade, and how many lives are ruined, how much control it has over so many nations of the world. And Lord, there's so much of us that just wants to say, God, we want to see that all destroyed. We need to take heart today. It will someday be destroyed. And so we are thankful, and we want to celebrate the destruction. But along with that destruction, we see that many people who are given over will be destroyed with it. That part grieves my soul. I want to see the evil destroyed, but I also realize that unless we repent and come out of her, that we could feel a sense of at least a portion of that destruction as well, and many people will be sucked into it, and there'll be no remedy. So, Lord, I pray that we would not just want to see it destroyed, but that we would want to have no part with this system now. That's why you tell us ahead of time what this all looks like, because you want us to reject those systems of the world today as your people. And so, Lord, bless us to be able to just see the different ways that this system is controlling things in our world today. Lord, help us to just keep our eyes on you and be about your business. Be a steward of what you have given us, and doing everything that we have to do for your glory and honor. Lord, help us to be about the work of winning souls, not trading souls. That part grieves me every time I read this. But we know that it's happening. Help us, Lord, to be one with you in the work of the business of expanding the kingdom while we still have these days. So, Lord, bless as we read these words today to apply them to our lives today, and not just think, well, this is going to happen someday, and so we got nothing to think about in this until it happens, but help us to see that there is a great work before us today in preparation for the day that we read of in the book, in the Bible. So, Lord, bless us today. Help us to apply and rightly understand what we read. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a seat. We'll unpack it. We are all wanting to see evil destroyed. Amen? You know, whenever I think about this system, Babylon, I can't help but, you know, think of the way things are done in Washington, D.C. We look around, and there's so much graft and corruption. You send a person there as a representative, and you know, they're making somewhere around $140,000 or something like that, which sounds like a lot of money to me. I mean, that's a lot of money. But before you know it, they've been there maybe 3 years and they're already a multimillionaire from it. Guys, they're not just getting that just from their salary, amen? we can see that there's got to be something else going on, and we know that there's a lot of money that's being paid to these people trying to entice them and bribe them to make particular decisions, and there'd be a lot of pressure. You know, we really need to pray for them to be able to resist that, don't you think? Pray that they won't get dragged into it, because it would be a difficult place. It would be a place of a lot of temptation. You know, many of you have heard the name Jeffrey Epstein. I'm not going to go into all the details of all that, but there are a lot of victims involved in that whole situation. Did you ever notice that we still haven't really gotten to see a complete list of all of the ones who used his system? And that was all part of the system of Babylon. It was the trading of human souls and the using of people for greater gain for just a few. You know, unfortunately, we heard another one of those victims who died this past week. It's sad. You know, I want us to hate that system, okay? And pray for the people. Even pray for the people that are involved in that system, because, you know, if they were to repent and come out of that, God would rescue them as well. Amen? We don't want to see them have to die in that system and reap eternal damnation in hell. We need to pray for a real repentance while there's still opportunity. Amen? We all want to see the evil destroyed. Amen? No more of this trafficking of people. Amen? No more. That's the desire of our heart. We need to be praying for the people that are actually doing the trafficking too, you know? You think of the song Amazing Grace. Do you know the background of that song? Who was the man who wrote that song? He was a former slave trader. He was one who was caught in this system of Babylon, and he was capitalizing off of it. But he repented. He was saved. He became a Christian. We'll see him in heaven someday, and we'll say, "Oh, you're the one that wrote that song that so many of us have sang and enjoyed and can say, His grace is amazing." Amen? So when we read these words, you know, it's like a part of me is cheering it on and saying, yeah, it's going to be destroyed. Part of me has a heavy heart and saying, God, save them now. Because once the judgment comes, there's not going to be any backing up on it. There's no second chances. There's no redos. And we sure don't want to be like finding ourselves participating in this system in any way, shape, or form. Amen? You know, when we look at this, we've got this other angel who comes down from heaven having this great authority, and the earth was illuminated by his glory. I mean, it's like, what does the effect of light have? It chases out the darkness. Amen? Anywhere we can take the light of Jesus with us whenever we show up into a place. We need to live for Jesus all the time. Let the light shine. And what it does, it begins to chase out the darkness. And so, you know, when that light shines, it also points out imperfections, doesn't it? You know, I can walk into one of the rooms of my house where the kids play a lot, and as long as it's dark, I don't see those marks on the wall. But when the sun comes out and it's shining in through that window, I can see where they've been, you know, working on the whiteboard with their markers and getting a little off of the board. You know what I'm saying? It shows those imperfections. We don't like to see the imperfections. So a lot of times, we don't like the light coming on. And that's why some others are not going to like it whenever we live for Jesus around them. So what should I do? Just turn off the light and say, oh, well, the walls, oh, you know, it'll be just fine. It'll get better on its own. No, I'm going to have to turn on the lights, and I'm going to have to go buy some paint, and I need to start painting those walls. I need to take notice of them. And you know, for the world, it means that when that light comes on, then they're going to have to deal with where they are with Jesus. And that's where we need to be. Amen? And it may be kind of rough at first. It's pretty rough whenever we start to see our own sin. Amen? But I tell you what, that's where healing starts. We need to pray every day, even for ourselves. Lord, show me the places I still need to be working on. Amen? Because someday, there's going to be a great change of events. And it could be today that all of that begins to happen. The rapture could happen today. Could mark the beginning of the 7-year tribulation. It could start us on the path to seeing evil finally destroyed. We need to warn as many people as we can first. Amen? But just look at what this angel's crying out mightily with a loud voice saying, Babylon the Great has fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons. That don't sound good. That don't sound like a good place to hang out. Amen? You know what? They're already kind of hanging out in that whole system. And once he brings it to total destruction, then you know, there's just going to be this period of time where it's going to be a prison for every foul spirit as well. Cage for every unclean thing and hated bird. We'd never go there, amen? We'd never go there. We'd never voluntarily say, man, that sounds like a good place to hang out. But you know what? That whole system's already got that presence in it. It just looks all purtied up right now. We need to stay away from it, though. You ever look at the lives of the people and so many of the people in Hollywood that are entertainers? Does that look like a life you want to end up with? I mean, many of them just multiple lines of divorces and they, you know, drug addiction and all kinds of rehabs and just blah, go on and on and on. And yet, we still, in our country, idolize so many of these people. And oftentimes, people will try to get their children kind of fast-tracked to where they can make it good in that system. And I'm thinking, I would never want my child to be in that system. Because that system's going to cost you something that you do not want to have to pay. We see, you know, so many people that go into that hoping to make it big and end up with destroyed lives. And it's sad. Praise God for the ones that can make it out. But let's not send them in the first place, and let's stop paying for them to have the power to destroy so much. You see, if we don't pay for it, it'll take away a lot of their power to do it. It's really important for us to look at that as well. And you know, he goes on, it goes on in verse 3 to tell us something about this system. In verse 3, it says, for all the nations, that next slide, for all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. That the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. You know why they don't want Jeffrey Epstein's list to make it out? Because so many people that are thought of by high esteem as nobles are on the list. I think it should be on every billboard across the nation. Just put the list of the names. We don't have to know all the acts. We just need to see the list of the names. Maybe they would repent if they knew everybody knew, right? Okay, I'm just using one instance. You know, there are so many dark areas in this world. And, you know, praise God, most of us are probably pretty innocent to him. I want to stay that way. I don't want to know the dark things that's going on in that. But what I do want is for there to be some accountability, because these victims are caught in the darkness and being used by others. And they feel and probably are very much alone. And what we need to do is make sure we're not helping to perpetuate that, but to long for the day to see that system completely destroyed. You see, it talks about all nations have benefited from her wickedness, and it, that especially this should not be said of his people. That verse 4 just really jumps out and grabs me. I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. Let's say that together. Come out of her, my people. Lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. It's a plague in the Christian church to be involved in all of the wickedness of Babylon. You know, Babylon perpetuates a lot of the things that we know are plaguing our families, especially the plague of pornography. And, there's an admitted number of around 65% of men, even in the church, will admit to regularly viewing pornography. Guys, this should not be so. You see, whenever we understand what this system of the world that is enslaving people, and guys, it don't just stop with men. There's many women that are involved in pornography. If that hits any of us personally, then we need to repent. We need to say, not just I'm sorry, Lord, but I'm going to keep doing it, but I'm sorry, Lord, and I want to stop. Help me stop. Because you see, it's completely demoralizing and neutralizing the power of the church. And we can be free from that. Because God tells us as a command, come out of her. You know, I've thought about this a lot, and as I read this chapter, I'm thinking about, all right, so he's already raptured the pre-tribulation Christians out. And then he sent out the 144,000 evangelists. And then anybody that didn't bow down to the Antichrist and get the mark got killed. And then he took the 144,000 out. So whenever he says, come out from her, my people, who's he talking to? Because in this day, when this is happening, most of the Christians are already taken out. I think he put this in here for us. He's saying, church, my bride, my people, come out from her. Stop involving ourselves in all of this network that is so degraded. Say no. If you want to say no, raise your hand. Say no. Say no. We do not want to support such a horrible thing that is a haunt, a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. Let's say no today. It's really important that we understand. I believe without a doubt that God is speaking directly to us in verse 4. He's saying, my people, be separate. You know, the word sanctified means to be separate. And once you're saved, I believe if you're truly saved, you're always saved. Amen. And I am thankful for that we have security in our salvation with Christ. But we don't want to lie to ourselves. We want to look at the evidence and say, am I saved? And if I am I compelled to do what God says? Where I'm not saved by doing it, but if I am saved, there's got to be something in me that tells me I should want to do it. Amen? Because you see, the Holy Spirit's going to be living in you if you're saved. And he's going to be saying, no, you can't live like that anymore. And there's none of us that are above temptation. We're all going to experience it. But we've got to be willing to say yes to God and no to the temptation. And if we fail, get back up and say no again. Don't ever give up in getting back up and saying no. Though a righteous man falls 7 times, it says in the scripture, he will get up. We need to keep getting up. We need to keep saying, Jesus, help me, forgive me and help me, because I want to be completely rid of this, whatever it may be. I just gave one example, and it's a pretty big one, and it's a pretty ugly one, but it's a true one. There's many different ways that we can involve ourselves in the decadent lifestyle that it's describing here without being careful. So we need to ask ourselves, Lord, show us. Lord, I'll just pray it right now. Lord, show us any way that we may need to recognize in ourselves so that we can come out from her, Babylon. We can live a life that is separate, a life that is sanctified, as we wait for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As we continue, we're going to see that like this thing, whenever God comes, he is not messing around. He is not messing around. And so right now, whenever we see God is really taking it easy on us, so to speak. I mean, I'll be honest, as many unborn babies as we have killed in the United States, I cannot believe that God has allowed us not to be destroyed. When you start looking at the millions of lives, I mean, we are well over 60 million human beings have been destroyed in abortion. Well over 60 million. Whenever we start looking at numbers like that, and I think, man, God hasn't destroyed us yet, we never want to mistake his patience as agreement. Do I get an amen on that? He has not agreed, and he's not okay with it, but he has been patient. But what we need to understand is he's being patient and not passive. Again, the spirit of Babylon is what is controlling and perpetuating that whole abortion industry, causing fear and causing doubt and causing people to be in slavery to these things, to where they make a desperate choice out of fear and later on regret it. We want to see them set free, amen? Set free through the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, but then we also want to see that whole industry shut down, and above all, that people who are his would never want to be a part of that, amen? And so often we'll find that that is not the case, that many people out of shame and fear that are in the church will go to that as an avenue to try to find help. We need to show them you can find help in Jesus. And we need to realize God is being patient right now, but not passive. He's patient, but not passive. I want you to hear what verses 5 through 8 say. For her sins have reached to heaven. Okay, so what I want to say, number one, God notices. Y'all get that? Her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her, and this system of Babylon again is what we're talking about here. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works in the cup which she has mixed. They think they're getting by with it. They think that because God is being silent, that God is happy with them. Guys, have you ever talked to anybody and asked them if they know where they're going to go after they die? And I've had many people tell me, well, I hope heaven. And I'll say, what are you putting your hope in? And they'll say, well, God seems to be pretty happy with me right now. And I like for them to further tell me just a little bit more what they mean by that. And they'll say, well, everything seems to be going good for me. I can tell you, a lot of times you come to Christ and then it seems like everything starts going bad. Here's my thought on that. You know, if you're under the sway of the enemy, he's not going to attack you if you're going the same way he's going. So we don't want to mistake the fact that God's not thumping us over the head for the fact that make us think that he's all happy with us at the moment, because that's not really how God necessarily works. You know, it could be that Satan's just being really easy on us because he's got us right where he wants us. And then it could be that as soon as we start to follow Christ and everything starts to hit the fan and we're going, what happened? It could be that now you're a threat to Satan. And it's actually him that's kicking up the dust at that point. So what we got to do is just read the Bible and know what he says and do what he says. Amen? If we do that part and not just be looking at the external things that are coming at us, then we'll realize that God is just being patient because he's good. He wants to see people saved. He's awesome. But man, he's not passive. Because what we begin to see is not only has he heard the sins, he's remembered the sins, and unless they repent, he's going to repay double. That doesn't sound good to me. He goes on in verse 7, in the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. Okay. So for just a few short years, they're getting all of this wonderful, luxurious living. How long is the torment going to be for, folks? Forever. It's a bad trade. And if we know somebody that's like kind of going in that direction and involved in that kind of thing, we need to warn them. You're making a bad trade. Because the little bit of time you're going to get living in luxury is going to be like nothing compared to the forever that you're going to live in torment. Repent and give your life to Christ. You see, it goes on to say, for she says in her heart, I sit as a queen, and I'm no widow, and will not see sorrow. That means she's not repented. That whole system and people that follow in that and continue to follow in that have not repented. It says, therefore, her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine. It's going to come down on her all at once. And she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. Praise God, he's strong. Praise God, he's going to destroy it. But we need to warn and be sure that we're not going to take part in any of the plagues. You see, Babylon has fallen. Those would be the greatest words that we could hear. Therefore, her plagues will come in one day. You notice how many times it mentioned that? It said it like three different times. In one day. What does that mean? It's going to come quickly. She's going to think everything's cool. She's going to think she's on top of the world. She's going to think, I still got this. And all of a sudden, it's done. In a day. The thousands of years of living in luxury and perpetuating that lifestyle to the next generation and the next generation and the next generation and causing so many people to fall into that funnel, and then bam, it's over. It's really important that we believe God's word. Therefore, her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. The kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning. Listen to what it says. You see, all those who took part in her and thought it was really great, cheered her on, jumped on anybody that ever criticized her, made everybody else feel like a fool for ever criticizing her. You know what they're going to do whenever they see all this happening? They're going to stand at a distance. They're going to hope it don't touch them. But I'll tell you what, the day of judgment's coming for them too. We need to make sure that we're walking right with God now while we have a chance, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, the mighty city, for in 1 hour her judgment has come. All her riches, guys, everything that she possessed could not stop her swift destruction. If we continue to just jump down to verses 16 and 17 there, saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour such great riches came to nothing. Every shipmaster, all who traveled by ship, sailors, and as many as trade on the sea stood at a distance. Guys, I'm going to tell you, they think they're getting by with it now. But in 1 hour, one moment, all the riches are not going to save them from the swift destruction. You know, there's some places in our country where we just kind of accept that place is just always going to be corrupt, you know. Chicago is one of those places. It's just accepted that you're never going to have free election up there because the mob controls things. And they've got the shipyards and they've got, you know, this big port there because they're on a great lake and they've got all of this trade and it's just accepted. It's just going to be the way that it is. I hear people talk. It's like, don't even try to worry about doing anything about it. Well, you know what? Someday something's going to be done about it. And does any of us really know the day Jesus comes back and starts this whole process? Not a one of us here. If I've said, you know, I know you're probably about to wear you out with that. Do we know the day or the hour? But you know what? Jesus asked that question a lot too. None of us know the day or the hour, and so we need to live like it's today. I say that to myself. Live like it's today. You know, she's that whole spirit whenever we see that she's being judged and destroyed with great wrath. I want you to understand, whenever that happens, This is the whole system that has been responsible for the persecution of God's people all along. This is like the spirit that caused the first death between brothers, that same spirit. And just from there went into, you know, the way that Cain just walked away from God, and out of his offspring came all of these who were really great at all these worldly things. But you know what? They just walked away and forgot about God. The earth became so corrupt at that time that God destroyed everybody on planet Earth except for Noah and his three sons and their wives. But you know, even one of those sons, Ham, wound up turning away. You had the one son that really walked with the Lord after that, and we have the line of faith that continues on. You know, when you're walking with Jesus, you're going to feel like the minority sometimes. Well, really most of the time, unless you're here at church. This is great. This is the way that we like it. Amen? We're the majority here. We like it. Feels good. But as soon as you walk out those doors, you're going to become a minority in most situations. Don't be bitter. Don't be angry at everybody else. Just be thankful and just live for Jesus. And whenever we see our brothers and sisters are dying in these other countries and people are being persecuted for the faith, you just know someday that system's going to get destroyed. And even if we have to die for our faith, where will you be the very next moment? In the presence of Jesus. It's not the worst thing that can happen to us. Keep our eyes on Jesus. Keep living for Jesus. Come out from among her. Have a plan that we know he's coming back. Amen? And whenever he does, he's going to set it straight. Put our faith in him. Don't put it in the government. Don't put it in all the systems of the world, because they've all kind of got a little bit of this mixed into them. They're going to fail us at some point. We need to put our hope in Jesus. He's the only one that won't disappoint. Is your hope in Jesus today? I pray it is. I mean, you came to church, so you're on the right track. But if you came here searching still, not fully committed, then I pray today be the day that you just lay it all down at the foot of the cross and say yes to Jesus. No to the world. Go forward with him. Let's pray. Dear Father, as we get ready to go into our song of invitation, I just pray that you'll bless us, Lord. Bless us to see if there's any part in us that has been a friend with Babylon. Maybe we haven't really come out from among her in that. Lord, not unto condemnation, because that condemnation doesn't fully come until this point in the tribulation, right before Jesus comes back. We praise you that it will come. Help us to examine our lives today and make sure that we are truly in the faith, first of all, and that we are truly walking with Jesus, and that we do truly want you more than anything else. And when we realize there's an area that we need to work on, I pray we'll commit that to you, and we will know that you will have victory if we continue to look to you. So bless us today, Lord. And I pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.